30 Days of Wrench Drabbles, written by Talking to the Sky and read by Jinky O. Summary: Unconnected Fluffy Moments, posted every day in June 2017. Chapter 1, Holding Hands, Electricity. They're walking side by side when the backs of John's fingers brush against Harold's wrist. It's as if a static shock stings him. He withdraws, the pad of his thumb rubbing the point of contact. "I felt that," Harold says, glancing from the corner of his eyes at John. "I'm sorry. It must be this new coat. The carpet in that hotel didn't agree with it." "Oh, so it was static." John is disappointed. But then Harold reaches out, takes his hand, squeezing gently without comment or further conductivity. They continue on back to the library, hand in hand. Chapter 2, Cuddling Somewhere, Water. The water is becoming lukewarm, but they don't want to get out just yet. Harold brought him to this apartment specifically for its enormous bathtub. At 15 weeks, Harold's belly is beautifully big and round, and neither of them can resist constantly putting their hands on it, feeling for tiny movements. With Harold's shoulders resting against his chest, John can encase him and their growing pup in his arms, while the buoyancy of the water takes some of the strain off Harold's body. John strokes his back and sides and thighs, trying to smooth away whatever soreness Harold might still feel. Chapter 3, Gaming, Fire. Author's notes: it's day 3, and I'm already cheating. I couldn't fit this into 100 words, so here, you get a double. Root buys Call of Duty and plays it on a spare console that didn't become part of the new machine servers. She and John get quite competitive over it. But one day, when the phone rings, Root jumps up and says, "Harry, take over for me." Harold lets her press the controller into his hands. He sighs, sits down. "All right, what's the objective here?" Reese glances over at Root, confused. Kill everyone else in the battle? Apart from me, you're on my team." "I'm not a fan of virtual guns any more than real ones," Finch complains. Being a computer genius, he figures out the controls quickly. Unfortunately, as the game's about battlefield instincts more than strategy or reflexes, he needs several attempts to grasp how not to die. Reese diverts his attention to protecting him instead of ruthlessly chasing down enemies. Root researches the new number, then stands behind their chairs watching the screen. "I think playing this could be good for you, Harold. It'll teach you where to stand, to be in cover when we're really getting shot at. So Loverboy here," she fondly pinches the back of John's neck, "doesn't have to keep saving you." Chapter 4, Watching a Movie on a Date, Fright. Harold suggests they stay in and watch a horror film for their next date night. John hasn't seen a movie with a date since high school. He selects a stack of DVDs. Snuggled up together on a couch in the safe house, they sort through the pile. Harold quirks an unimpressed brow, holding up The Birds. "Really, John?" John grins. "Worth a shot." After a process of elimination, they settle on The Conjuring. Neither of them have seen it before. Harold spends the next 2 hours repeatedly hiding his face in John's shirt. John soothes him every time, enjoying the closeness. Chapter 5, Kissing, Breath. Harold is a really great kisser. Working for the CIA, John had made targets completely melt with the press of his mouth, but Harold is in another league entirely. He has a fairly restrained personality in most circumstances. Maybe that's why, when passion spills out, it does so with a gentle ferocity that is guaranteed to take John's breath away. That's just fine with him, because oxygen is not even a priority when he can maintain the seal of their lips for just a few moments more. And they keep getting better at this together, with lots and lots of practice. Chapter 6, Wearing Each Other's Clothes, Caught. They were both shirtless and flush against one another, leaning on the edge of Finch's desk, kissing fervently when heeled boots began to click towards them, descending the stairs into the subway station. John wrenched his mouth from Harold's. They exchanged a panic look before springing apart, John blindly grabbing for his shirt, shoving his arms into the sleeves. He'd shrugged into it before he realized it was far too tight across the shoulders. It wouldn't button. Harold had scurried away into the subway car, John's shirt too big for him. John folded his arms and turned to face Root. Chapter 7, Cosplaying Batman and Joker. See the end of the chapter for notes. Their number is working as a crew member at a fan convention. She's only in New York for 4 days and doesn't seem to use the hotel she booked. Root suggests they attend the event in costume. Harold grumbles, but eventually finds himself wearing a purple suit and green vest. Root paints his face white, slashed through at the mouth with red. And Reese is in tights, with a black cape and pointy-eared mask, a gold utility belt around his waist. The tall boots emphasize the length of his powerful legs. Suddenly, it's the best idea Root's ever had. Notes. I'm cheating again. Harold winks at Root, walks up to John and touches his glasses. You wouldn't hit a man in glasses, would you? Root laughs, delighted. John, not catching the reference, says quite seriously, I'd never hit you, Harold. And then kisses him on his blood-red mouth. Harold gently pushes him back. You'll smudge my makeup. John chucks him under the chin. It looks even better, smudged. Chapter 8, Shopping, Prepared. Notes, set in the same universe as Chapter 2, Pregnant Finch. Reader's note, the best Finch. Harold is going a little overboard with the online shopping today, John thinks, as he carries the 10th box of baby stuff upstairs. He stacks the boxes up by the library gate and goes in search of his mate. Harold? Back here, John. He's in an armchair in one of the reading nooks, surrounded by parenting books. He looks tired and stressed. John picks his way through the sea of books to kneel at Harold's feet. Hey, he cups Harold's cheek. You're going to be great at this. Harold leans into the touch, closing his eyes. Are you sure? Positive. Chapter 9, Hanging Out with Friends, Outdoor Yoga. Finch, Fusco, and Carter all receive text to come to the same park. They converge on the area, but there's no obvious threat. Then Joss spots John. He's surrounded by women, all crouching on mats. John straightens up and waves. Hey guys, I saved you some spaces. Mr. Reese, you summoned us without explanation. Oh, beautiful evening is all. He stretches in the sunshine, lifting the hem of his t-shirt. Finch swallows. I'll take a nap, Fusco decides, lying down. Suppose it can't hurt. Carter's eyeing the instructor and removing her gun holster. I'll watch, Finch says, clutching Bear's leash. Chapter 10, With Animal Ears, Sensitive. John's pointy, furry ears blend in seamlessly with his salt and pepper hair. He has human ears too, but they're not as sensitive. The extra pair sit on the top of his head and can lie down flat when he wears a beanie. Harold is fascinated. He thought he already knew everything the CIA was capable of. He hadn't predicted this. John likes him to stroke them. He growls whenever anyone else gets near them, but he trusts Harold enough to touch. John is at his most relaxed when they curl up in bed and Harold runs curious fingers over his ears. Chapter 11, Wearing Kigurumis, Owl and Panda. Author note, I am so very, very sorry for this one. There is no getting away from the crackiness of the prompt. I've upped the rating a bit. Wearing his blue owl onesie, Finch fluttered into the room. Reese was twisting behind himself, holding his striped black and gold stuffed appendage. Finch, why does mine have a tail? Presumably because red pandas have tails, Mr. Reese. Reese looked Finch up and down, then moved to stand behind him. In that case, why don't you have tail feathers, oh? Yes, there's a flap. And when you lift up the flap, there's a hole. Did you cut a hole in the back of your pajamas for my tail? I might have done that. Wearing nothing underneath? Finch nervously flapped a wing. Possibly. Chapter 12. Making Out, Making Love. Harold has been looking forward to this all day. He pulls John down on top of him on the couch and lets his hands wander. He can feel John quietly laughing as he catches his own weight, careful not to squash Harold. Their thighs brush and their lips part very sweetly. The graze of stubble excites him. Harold sucks on John's tongue as the warmth gathers in his groin. John unbuttons his own shirt without breaking the kiss, and Harold strokes his thumb over John's nipple. He'll never get tired of having John like this, being able to show his love. Chapter 13. Eating Ice Cream. Melt. Harold likes ice cream so much, he'll go out of his way to eat it in the dead of winter. So when summer rolls around, he's unstoppable. John cautiously licks his own, his teeth sensitive. By the time he's halfway through, Harold has been back for seconds and thirds. There's no attempt to disguise which flavors he prefers, no embarrassment at waiting in line behind a group of kids. He's so completely himself that John can only imagine Harold has always been this way. Seeing Harold so happy, John's heart is melting even faster than the treat in his hands. Chapter 14. Gender Swapped. Fluid Fashion. See the end of chapter for notes. It's only a very small difference, and it varies from day to day. Sometimes he asks Finch for help with makeup, to teach him about eyeliner. Some nights, when they're alone, they experiment with lipstick and nail polish. Reese feels better every time they try. Like he's finally figuring out who he wants to be and not letting his country or his family decide that for him. Finch has never paid much attention to the clothes she is supposed to wear, which helps Reese. Her suits fit her exquisitely. She supports and owns companies who refuse to divide clothes by gender. Author's note. Reese is starting to explore a gender-fluid identity, and Finch has always been female in this AU. Retailers which separate clothes and market them as male or female alienate trans/non-binary folk. Chapter 15. In a Different Clothing Style. Casual. John is doing the laundry when he comes across a surprising item. He pulls the faded blue pair of jeans out of the dryer and holds them against his waist, way too short to fit him. They're frayed and torn at the knees, not in a modern, fashionable way. These are old, worn threadbare in the inner thighs and crotch. John inhales their scent, then carries them upstairs to ask Finch. Harold waves a dismissive hand. Oh, I keep those for my messy engine work. John's eyes light up. Seriously? I'd kill to see you bend over a car wearing these. Chapter 16. During their morning rituals. Shared bathroom. At John's loft, there was an unofficial competition over who got up first. The water was unreliable about staying hot long enough for two showers, and Harold was not a fan of sharing, no matter how much John tried to persuade him. The bathroom did have two sinks, and thankfully, Finch didn't object to brushing his teeth right next to him. John loved these few minutes each day. It made them seem so married, so normal. They were always rushing to save someone's life, but beforehand, John had seen sleepy, adorable Harold squinting in the mirror. That made everything worth it. Chapter 17, Spooning, Feels Like Heaven. Author's notes. I've been looking forward to this one. Hearts. Harold is especially pleased with himself for buying John this king-size bed when he gets to wake up in it. Lying on his left side ought to hurt, but he's fine. John's arm is draped over his waist, and Harold tugs it tighter around himself. He hears John murmur, and then gets a soft kiss at the nape of his neck. Harold smiles, his heart filled with contentment. He presses his shoulders back against John's chest, making the most of the sleepy hug. The skin-to-skin contact feels like heaven. He wishes they could stay here all day. Chapter 18, Doing Something Together, Playing Chess. They meet in the park multiple times. At first, they argue about the numbers. After Harold is back on board, they do it just to spend time together. Above ground, in the sun, under Samaritan's gaze. Bear sits by the table, alert for threats, so they can relax. Still, Harold keeps his voice low, wary of the people around them and their phones. John just likes to see his face, watch his hands swiftly moving the chess pieces. John's attention is never fully on the game. He doesn't mind losing. Harold can win at anything. He can win them this war. Chapter 19, Informal Wear, One in a Million. In the privacy of the library, Harold sighed with longing at John's image on screen. The man looked stunning as he easily navigated the event space, which was attended by many leading lights and billionaires. Mr. Reese outshone them all. He'd had a little help getting into that tuxedo, Harold smoothing and tucking and tweaking. If John were amenable later, Harold would be more than willing to assist him out of it. For now, there was work to do. Harold silently thanked the machine for making it possible for him to meet, work alongside, and fall in love with his partner. Chapter 20, Dancing, Close Enough. Author's notes. We haven't heard from Root in a while, so I brought her back. Heart. See the end of the chapter for more notes. Root stilled, uncertain as music began to play. Then she relaxed and smiled fondly. The lovebirds were at it again. She pushed herself off her bed, peeked her head out of her new subway bedroom, and watched them swaying. Harry had his arms around John's shoulders, hand in his hair. They were turning slowly, heads close together, gentle. Four alarm fire. Root's heart sank. Samin wouldn't dance with her, not like this. But it'd be enough to picture it, dream of it. Chapter 21, Cooking, Baking, Cravings. Author's note, pregnant Harold again. See chapter 2 and chapter 8. Harold is tired and restless. He's looking forward to this all being over soon. He can't wait to meet the little one, hold them in his hands. Until then, he'll have to bear the discomfort. Sweet things make that easier. John has been excellent at bringing him whatever he desires, but right now, Harold wants pure sugar. Working in the kitchen cheers him up considerably. He whips up a bowl of salted caramel frosting and eats it off the spoon. John dips his finger in the mixture and sucks. Harold ditches the spoon. Frosting tastes even better on John's skin. Chapter 22, In Battle, Side by Side, Paintball. You're going to have to shoot sometime, John told him as they took shelter by a wooden fence. Harold huffed, the sound muffled by his helmet. I will when necessary. John scanned the terrain. He wouldn't have put it past Shaw to have climbed one of those trees. As it happened, Carter had snuck up behind them. Too noble to shoot them in the back, she coughed. John turned and splattered her with paint. But the girls had planned this. Shaw did get him in the back. Harold opened fire wildly on the trees, missing Shaw, but proving he would avenge John. Chapter 23, Arguing, Betrayal. Author's notes. This is the only one I'll let be angsty, okay? You kissed your therapist while I was in the hospital being treated for chlorohydrate poisoning. I didn't know about that until 10 days later, because you never tell me anything anymore. In order to protect you. This is a betrayal. Come on, Finch, be reasonable. You kissed someone else. I don't have to be reasonable. You didn't think about me when you went off and spent the night with Beth Bridges. Get out. Harold, please, go. Now, Reese, I don't wish to see you for a while. I'll call you later when you've calmed down. I won't answer. Chapter 24, Making Up Afterwards, Forgiveness. Author's notes. Continuation from chapter 23. Tomorrow, we'll return to our regularly scheduled fluff fest, I promise. We broke up. I know, I was listening. I'm so sorry. Likewise, it seems we've only managed to make this war harder for ourselves by fighting with each other. How did we get like this, Finch? Fear. It's been quietly eroding us until we no longer recognize who we're meant to be or who we're meant to be with. I've missed you, Harold. And I you. I've always trusted you. I need you to be able to trust me. Of course, when you told me about the kiss, you proved I could. Now, dinner? Yes, please. Chapter 25, Gazing into Each Other's Eyes, Newborn. Author's note, wrapping up the impreg running theme of this collection. See 2, 8, and 21. I think he has your eyes, Harold whispers, smoothing the folds of the blanket wrapped around their newborn, held securely in his arms. I was just thinking they reminded me of yours. John's voice is low, thick with unshed tears. He has one leg bent under himself on the bed, perched on the edge, facing Harold. He squeezes Harold's knee through the hospital sheets. John's finger tickles a tiny, kicking foot before tucking it back inside the cloth bundle. Harold looks up at John and down at their son, trying to compare eye colors. Their gazes lock, and John beams. Chapter 26, Getting Married, Making Plans. Do you have a preference of wedding venue, John? Indoor, outdoors, vintage, modern, waterfront, museum, ballroom, gardens? You proposed. You've done the easy part. Now you have to help me plan this. Okay, how about slowing down a little bit? John rested a hand on Harold's shoulder, glancing at the 5 screens on the desk. Harold's workstation had exploded into options. Bring your laptop through to the break room. We can sit on the couch and talk about it. Yes, you're right. Let's do that. Sorry, I got carried away. I'm enormously excited. I know. I am too. Chapter 27. On One of Their Birthdays. Identity. This isn't my birthday. It's Harold Martin's birthday. You celebrated it 4 times with Grace. I figure it's the closest I'm going to get to your real one. John held out the small blue velvet box in the palm of his hand. Harold was reminded of the gift he himself had given to John, the key to his apartment. He took the box carefully. When he opened it up, he found a tiny pewter tie pin shaped like a bird. The detailing on the feathers was very lifelike. Oh, it's a wren, your other long-term identity. It's handmade. Thank you. Chapter 28, doing something ridiculous, streaking. See the end of the chapter for notes. A few nights ago, I dreamt you ran naked through Times Square, and I was trying to stop you, but I couldn't keep up. Huh? Were you naked too? Pity. Maybe the dream means you haven't seen enough of me without my clothes on recently. Now that you mention it. Harold crooked an eyebrow and let his gaze pass over John. John smirked and bent down to peck at Harold's lips. I can fix that. He reached for his belt, kicking off his shoes. Once nude, he grinned, turned, and sprinted off into the maze of the library's corridors. No, don't, John! Author's notes. I posted a smutty continuation expansion of this drabble called Chase. Chapter 29, Doing Something Sweet, Hugs. John tucked his nose into Harold's rumpled hair, rubbing his face in it happily. He curled both arms loosely around Harold's waist. Stood at the kitchen counter, waiting for his tea to cool, Harold smiled and leaned back against him. Darling, you're in a good mood. I am. No numbers today. Did she tell you that? She did. John dropped random kisses on his head. Can I just keep you? Harold bit his lip, starting to grin. I suppose. He turned to face John, stroking his prickly chin and kissed him, then pulled him into a warm, tight, sleepy hug. Chapter 30, Doing Something Hot, Wedding Night. Author's notes. I could have interpreted hot super literally. Volcano adventures, anyone? But I went for sexy, because we might as well end with a bang, so to speak. See the end of the chapter for more notes. You'll never be alone again, John whispers between one round of heady kisses and the next. Harold shudders beneath him, his heart overflowing. He doesn't think he'll be able to speak, but the words tumble out of him anyway. I know, I've got you. He clutches at the back of John's neck, struggling for purchase on his powerfully shifting shoulders. My husband, John says, for the first time. And then, voice lower, my king. He couples this with a thrust that makes Harold's heels dig in. Harold has just presence of mind left to protest. We're equals, John. Final author's note. Well, we did it, folks. Thank you for all the support and comments. You've been amazing and generous. Reader's notes. Thank you, Talking to the Sky. This was a wonderful series, and I had a lot of fun back in June, refreshing AO3 every day just to see the latest update. So thank you. And late happy birthday, but hopefully early Merry Christmas, unless this goes out on Christmas, in which case, just Merry Christmas! If you want to read this work, you can check out Talking to the Sky at archiveofourown.com. Please read. Please leave kudos and comments because it's a great series of drabbles. This is Jinky O. Thank you for listening.